CNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bassick, who actually got back from vacation a day before I did, and Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. Glad, well, I guess I shouldn't welcome you to the show, Corey. You've been here. You've been here. Thank you for welcoming me back to the show. How the heck's it been going?
You know what I'm learning about this is every time one of us leaves the show, there's some sort of chaos that happens, and then we have to recover from it for just a little bit, you know?
Right.
We've had some situations pop up in our time, but we are still here and still strong, and I appreciate all the Tolos that are firing it off right now. Thank you for texting in.
From the 469, damn, Kevin, Vermont changed you. Make no mistake. It's always been there, all right? It's always been there. But can I just tell you how I found out about all of this? I don't know if people are fatigued by this, and if you are, I apologize. I know we need to talk about the Stars and
so go ahead and talk about what's on your mind, man.
I, believe it or not, there's not a whole lot of direct flights to Burlington, Vermont. I don't know if that's surprising to you or not. And in fact, we got a direct flight out there. And they're like, oh, you got the last one of the season. Which I was like, I did not know.
There's a flying season?
I don't know. I guess so. And so we had to take a couple of flights to get back. And so we're at the airport in Vermont and just sitting down. You know how it is. And I just look at my phone because we're traveling, getting the baby ready, and the baby is not the easiest in the world in the airport. And I'm looking at my phone and I have all these texts from people that were like, good God, what happened? And I was like, what does that mean? That was the very first one I got. I was like, I don't know what that means. And then the very next one is like, man, Jerry was mad today. And I was like, okay. So something happened with Sean and RJ with
because
Jerry.
You know the schedule. He's on every Tuesday.
Exactly. Exactly. And it just text after text after text. And I'm like, oh my God, I must have missed it. I opened Twitter. It took one tweet. The very first tweet I saw was about this. And then obviously I started listening to clips. Then I'm going to hop on the Odyssey app and listen to like the entire context of the whole thing. And it was crazy. I know you, Corey, I know you're like, yeah, I know I was here. But I'm just
What did I text you whenever it was later in the afternoon? I didn't want to bug you too much, but I was like, okay, he's got to be home-ish right about now. I texted you and I was like, it wasn't us this time.
Yes.
Usually it's us that's instigating crap around here.
That is true.
That's what our show does.
And I couldn't believe it. And then I saw Shannon Sharp had thoughts. Michael Irvin had thoughts. Dan Patrick had thoughts. RJ Choppy's about to be on the Dan Patrick show. And I was like, wow.
I kind of want to tune in live to that. I kind of want to like listen in on that and see how it goes.
Do you think we should simulcast?
I don't know how that works. So I don't know exactly. Like, would that be all right? You know what? If we're breaking all the rules, actually, I think you just set the standard. We're abiding by all the rules now.
I feel like I just followed all of the rules.
We've always been the show. It's been the fools with no rules was what Walt called us back in the day. But now we're abiding by all the rules.
Mike, I'm changing all my passwords to Cowboys back to back to back. 21, 22, 23.
We did it.
We got Mike back in, baby.
36 regular season wins in the last 3 years. You like those 36 regular season wins? Yeah, I bet you do.
I do like the wins a lot. I would like some more wins.
Especially against the Giants. Those are always hard-fought ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's get more of those wins, though.
By the way, the Giants just lost. If you're looking for other sports content, the Giants just lost their left tackle for the season, like as if you needed.
And their quarterback can't throw a deep ball. And yeah. they got a really good receiver, though. So if we could pluck him away from them somehow, that'd be awesome.
Now, no, he got drafted by another team. He's out for the rest of his career. Unless he becomes 33 and is kind of washed up.
Okay, then bring him on.
Or if we draft him, another team signs the guy. He shows that he's totally washed and should never play another game in the NFL. Then we really like those guys.
And no, I'm not announcing a candidacy for president. We've said this a long time. Corey, you know both of us. Jess would be the far better and far likable candidate.
Very likable.
To run for president.
Yes.
So
you do want to be the Dick Cheney behind the scenes of
yes.
it all.
He's dead.
Well, but he ran the country for a while.
I got to shake his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Lefty.
Really?
Yeah. His right hand is messed up.
Do you reach out left-handed to shake people's hands?
No.
Okay.
But when he went to Duncanville High School in 1994, 1995 or 1996. That's when he ran for president. Is that right?
I think so. Along in the Bob Dole group.
Oh, Bob Dole. Maybe I met Bob Dole. Bob Dole. I don't remember who came to Dunham.
Bob Dole was Bob Dole and Jack Kemp.
Yep. So there you go.
But George Bush was there. I remember meeting him.
You know what I like about Mike's story? You don't even know where it's going to start, let alone where it's going to finish.
Yeah, you
there
never
you
know.
Hey, I'm just happy the Cowboys are the champs. Finally.
Well, Mike, that hasn't actually happened. They still have plenty of football
left. Do I have
to
read this statement again?
They still have plenty of football
That'll
left.
Be the last of me for the day if I have to read this statement again.
I will be realist with you here. They still have lots of games left
I'm
to play. They just need to win.
Somebody at this station ticked off our boss more than I do.
That's a great point. In the meantime.
And it did take some heat off, Mike.
Let's
for a while.
Get back.
I appreciate it.
Into the let's get back into the good graces. And play cut number two, please.
Hands it back for Stankoven. Spins over to Marchment. In front, tip, score! Matt Duchene! Perfect setup from Marchment. Perfect finish from Duchene. His first of the year. Ties it at one.
Now, the other thing that I've realized, I was only gone a couple days.
Oh, did you realize Dick Cheney's actually alive still?
Yeah, because he did mean Bob Dole, I think.
Yeah. Oh, well.
This. I mean, you could also go with good for him. Dude. Like, that feels like a mic response.
Yeah. I forget. Dick Cheney's the one who did run the country.
Yes,
some.
Correct.
Yeah, they made a movie about it called Bush.
Do you realize, Kevin, that the stars are after you right now? They are out to make you look like a fool because they are winning when you said that they didn't need to. You said it wasn't important. Yeah, you said it wasn't that important for them to win hockey games. And here they are at 4-0 while you're just sitting there going, wow, I guess they could go 82-0.
Give them the cup.
They won't go 82-0.
Right now, there's no prediction that says they can't.
Stanley's,
they are on pace
Stanley's
to go 82-0.
Stanley's in the house.
Yeah, bring on Lord Stanley right now.
All I said,
Sir Stanley,
going back to that Nashville game, was it wasn't a must win. That was it.
Felt like a must win.
I said the season continued. I literally said I wanted the Stars to win.
It gives them more breathing room.
Alec, aren't you happy that the Stars treated it like a must win?
Yeah, because, you know, certain people, you know, you hear about media talking heads, you know, they were doubting. Mm-hmm. Some people in the Metroplex were doubting. There was never a doubt between myself, Corey Majors, and even Mike Bassick when he wasn't even in the country.
Yeah. He was in Italy, and he was like, shaved ice? Thank you. Gelato? Mm-hmm.
Look.
Oh, gelato. I tell you what, they do have vanilla gelato for you. If you ever go to Italy.
Is it just like fancy ice cream?
I did think about you. Okay. Because I was like, all these flavors, he'd hate this thing. I actually read gelato just has less fat than ice cream.
Okay.
So it's like, you know, your milk content. So ice cream uses more fat from the cream or from the milk. And they use less fat in gelato. So I guess you could say it's fancy ice cream, but really it's just the fat. Amount
okay, I gotcha.
In the ice cream / gelato.
Now, I just want to make this very, very clear. I'm very excited about the Stars. I was particularly pumped up about that Seattle game because one of the things that we talked about is...
Cracked them.
Yes, we did. Very well done, Mike. Is when Ottinger's not out there, how is your goaltending situation going to respond? Well, boom, guess what? You got another shutout and you'd gotten the Ottinger shutout. I believe it was the day before. Mm-hmm. And so I love the fact that they're 4-0-0, but also that you've already seen some of the people you wanted big contributions from show up early. You've gotten good stuff from the backup goaltenders. I am thrilled that they are winning. All I said was I didn't think that the opener was a must win.
I need to download that app.
The Victory Plus app?
Yeah, I haven't.
I got it. Yeah, it's good. It works.
Is it good? Is it really work?
It's functional.
Like okay.
It's functional, and it's useful if you're wanting to keep up with the Stars right now.
Okay.
So.
And you can download it on televisions?
Yeah. Well, I cast it to my TV. You can't download it. So
that
you
is
to cast
an issue
it,
that they've run into.
Or plug
so
your
far.
Laptop in or whatever. But yeah, Kevin, the point you're talking about, man, that goal, Robertson's assist to Roppe was gorgeous. Duchene's goal last night, amazing. You're getting all this from Marchment. I said I needed Marchment to step into a different role this year.
You saw that straight away, right?
He's already on it. So, like, this is really nice to see that they are all fired up to get this season started because they're incorporating new people. they're incorporating new faces into the organization also, while also bringing up a youth part of it, but they're not too old. They don't look too old. They look like they're the right age to have the speed, the firepower, and the defense that they need to go make a push here.
I think their major motivation is the Rangers win in 23. Then you have the Mavericks make it to the NBA Finals but lose. And then you have the Cowboys who've won three championships back to back to back. And they just feel a little bit left out in this Metroplex.
I am seeing that you can download it on your Apple TV you can download it on Roku, Google TV, or Fire Stick. So I don't know how that works.
Victory Plus, right?
Yes. Okay. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for some NFL overreaction or reality. We'll do it next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan right now. It's time for a little NFL overreaction or reality. Gentlemen, are you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. NFL overreaction or reality. Football weekends seem a little sadder or more boring when the Cowboys are not playing. Assuming you're a Cowboys fan, now you can reapportion that for like whatever your team is when they're on the bye.
Yes. And this is what we talked about Monday. I spent all Sunday. I woke up, watched the Bears play, and was like, okay, this is, you know, an appetizer. This is drinks before the appetizer.
Sure.
Then the noon games happen. I'm like, appetizer. And then I know, Mike, you go to Italy and y'all have like 50 course meals. I get it.
Man, but I heard some of those stories. Amazing.
But then whenever I was like, all right, main course, Dallas Cowboys, that's when I was like, oh no, this is deflating.
Yeah.
I got a burnt steak here. Yeah. And so that's where the excitement going into the weekend is always, I can't wait to watch my team play. I can't wait to, I've invested my time and my heart in this all week long, discussing the ways that it could win, discussing the ways that it could go bad, trying to convince myself that maybe they will win this week, and then that happens. But each week, I still find myself excited about it. This weekend, I mean, there was a lot of good college football.
Sure,
that I got very invested.
Absolutely.
And I think this week, I'll go into it, and I'll sit back, and I'll relax and enjoy football without being stressed about my team just got blown out.
Because you can look at, like, since you mentioned college football, I was specifically going to say USC, Penn State, and Oregon, Ohio State were two games that if you didn't have a rooting interest, they were super fun to just, like, sit back and watch.
Yeah, absolutely. So I do agree that I'm a little like, but I'm more relieved sometimes whenever they're playing like this. When they're playing hot, I want to see it. But when they're playing the way they are right now, it's like, man, I don't have to watch that because it's kind of difficult to go through.
I'm with you guys. Without the Cowboys playing.
Or the Jags.
Yeah, the Jags. My God. Well, I mean, it's a free win for whoever's playing them. So, and I'm talking about the Jaguars?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Yeah. I didn't know if it was the Cowboys.
Okay,
or the Jaguars.
All right.
You better not.
But anyways, yeah, I mean, I don't know. They might cancel the NFL if Jerry's not around.
All right, NFL overreaction or reality. The Bears are going to make the playoffs. So one of the things that in...
You were out yesterday.
Oh, did you ask that question?
I asked if all four teams, for the first time in the history of football, could all four teams from one division make the playoffs?
The reason why I'm going to say no to that, and I'm sorry if this did come up yesterday.
Don't worry about it.
Is they've only played each other. They've only had one divisional game.
Okay.
So
the Bears.
The whole division.
The whole division.
Oh, wow.
Which is what we discussed yesterday. We didn't really dive in, but I said they're going to play each other, and that's going to...
So each team has had six games? I guess five.
With only one
Minnesota.
Against each
that's
other.
That's amazing.
Yes, the only... Minnesota against Green Bay.
I didn't
know
that.
23 total games.
Yes, that was it. And so that's the only reason I would go against that, because if you just look at the teams, like, that's a really strong argument to make. But I think the fact that they've only played one divisional game is like you're going to have some unavoidable losses get dinged up on there. So I guess then my question
is
becomes...
Is the old Big 12 beating up on each other?
Yes, exactly. So I guess then my question is, assuming that one of them has to drop out, who is it? Do you think the Bears make it? Do you think the Packers drop out? Do you think... where do you guys go with this?
Oh, this is tough because the Vikings have started so hot.
Yes.
I think I will say I think maybe the Bears will just miss, if anything, because of the limited experience at quarterback.
Okay.
I was in Italy. How bad did the Lions defense look against the Cowboys once Hutchinson got hurt and was out? Like, how much
great.
Did the Cowboys just dominate?
They were still great.
They looked fun.
And as a matter of fact, in Gridiron Gravy, one of their dudes got a contract because he beat the crap out of Zach Martin so much. So, yeah, like that, they were still very good. Cowboys offense just is in a bad way right now.
I'll lean towards Chicago, but it sounds like to me it'll be a major injury, and I'll say to a quarterback, I guess.
Yeah.
Because then I just wonder, I do think that this ruined Detroit's chances to make the Super Bowl, that game.
Okay. You know what? I actually want to build on that since you just gave that answer, and I want to check in with you about that. The Lions season overreaction to reality will be derailed by the Hutchinson injury. Now, that doesn't mean that they can't still like make the playoffs, but they're not going anywhere now.
I don't think so. Okay. I don't think it's going to be derailed. And hell, if he comes back in 9 weeks like Dan Campbell thinks he can.
That would be amazing.
What was it that Jalen Hurts got hurt and Sirianni was like, he heals faster than both of us.
Yeah, because Sirianni has jaundice and he's like 40-something years old.
I thought you said he cured that last year.
Well, he beat jaundice one time. It can come back.
But Hutchinson is a key part of it, and maybe they don't win the Super Bowl because of it. Like, they need that performance out of him. Aaron Donald was a difference maker against the Bengals, right?
Yeah.
Chris Jones is a difference maker in all these Super Bowls for the Chiefs. So maybe he's the difference there, but I still think their offense, the way they play on offense, by running the ball so competitively, it will give their defense a chance. And the smart move they did this offseason was take care of their secondary.
Yes.
And their secondary is now better, so it's not just all on Aiden Hutchinson.
Now, since you brought up Nick Sirianni for not necessarily directly football reasons.
He said he was sorry.
Okay. NFL overreaction to reality.
No sunlight to heal him that day.
Eagles fans just want Nick Sirianni to be gone.
No, I don't think so.
He is an Eagles fan.
I think he is exactly what they are.
He can interview the general manager.
You know that like we can make fun of our guy and our guy can't make fun of our guy can make fun of us, yep. But you can't make fun of our guy. I think that's where they are. They're like, you know what? I'm glad he did. I'm glad he fought back. I'm glad he yelled at us. We're gonna yell back at him and we're gonna go win the Super Bowl. I think that's how they feel about it. So I think he's still the perfect guy for that group as long as they're winning. If they're losing too much though, that'll be a problem.
NFL overreaction or reality, NFL voters understand.
Matter of fact, Kev, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I don't think he should have apologized.
Oh.
I think he should have, because I think the Philly people are probably looking at it going, soft.
They respected soft. Him before. Yeah. Now it's like, give us what for? And now he's like, oh, okay. NFL overreaction or reality, all NFL voters understand that this year, you cannot win comeback player of the year just because you suck the year before. All right, so look. A lot of people have focused in on, remember, they changed the criteria of just because you were bad, that doesn't mean you can win comeback player of the year. And of course, I feel bad because Sam Darnold's picture comes up in every single one of these conversations. But NFL...
He didn't play bad last year. He just didn't play.
Yeah. So NFL overreaction or reality, voters understand you can't win the award just because you were terrible.
Overreaction.
That's how you vote.
I think you're right, too.
You're saying it should only be based off of injury?
That's what the NFL put out new guidelines in the offseason that said they were changing the way they voted for this award. I do not believe everybody has accepted that.
I hope they do, though. I hope they are all in on that. Kevin, somebody said, why so negative? We're 3-0 undecided right now.
That's a good point. 3-2, close to call.
If you beat San Francisco, maybe the tiebreaker helps you get in the playoffs after 7 games.
Valid. Let's roll.
Man, that is a great point. See?
So who's your front runner right now for comeback player of the year?
Yeah, see, and that's the thing.
Darnold.
Still got to be DeMar Hamlin.
That's why,
right?
I don't know, because normally I would automatically say Sam Darnold or
Chubb.
Justin Fields.
It's going to be Nick Chubb.
I mean, how bad do you think Sam Darnold's feelings has been hurt the last 3 years?
Yeah.
By not playing. That's an injury.
Yeah.
His feelings have been hurt.
Yeah.
Somebody from the 817 said, that's what most improved is for. And that's, you're right. The guy was the most improved player this year. He stunk last year and he improved this year. So I think it's going to be Nick Chubb. He's coming off injury. He says that he owes the city of Cleveland because they were doing something good last year. So Nick Chubb is going to finish out this season strong for my fantasy football team.
Oh. Is Trayvon Diggs top three on comeback player of the year?
Ooh, I don't.
Probably not right now.
No.
Yeah.
But I mean, that would fit the definition of injury.
He's having a hard time out there.
I mean,
man.
He sees all the receivers' backs.
Yeah, and I'm sure y'all have discussed the still the tackling issues that, I mean, they've been around forever.
Kevin, OU.
He makes Deion Sanders look like Ray Lewis.
OU could not. oh, man. Because he doesn't tackle. I got you. Okay, yeah, Deion, you know did, Deion like, didn't
Deion,
tackle.
Deion would just dive at ankles really and hope they fell over his body. Trayvon Diggs is like, watch this.
Have you ever watched those videos of the moms tackling their kids? And every single one. Yeah, they,
what?
The kids get to go to practice. They get to go to practice, and the moms get to go too. And they line up in Oklahoma drills, and it's one-on-one. The kids have to take their helmets off, but they do get their pads. And these moms will level their kids, dude. But most of them will step out of the way and do the Olay thing and grab them and throw them. And that's the way, like, most of those Cowboys look that way. They look like the moms where they were like, oh, I want to tackle you, but I'll just try and let you. Oh, you're going to go to the end zone.
Yeah. That, okay.
But tackling was an issue across the league this week. I saw it all over the place. It was an issue in the OU game. We got to be better at tackling. The product, for the product to be better, they have to be better at it.
Look, I've learned new things. I need to go watch parents tackling their kids. And last night, my older son introduced me to a set of videos called slime scooping that I had no idea was a thing.
Is this
either
the one where they pour it on the floor and scoop it up, or they just
I think they just scoop it out of the thing.
I've
all
seen
right.
that one too.
Let's go to the fan text for an impromptu overreaction to reality from the 972. If I can interrupt for a brief moment, I had a 12-leg parlay for all the winning teams. My wife made me cash out after the Bengals game. Overreaction to reality, I should have stuck to my guns, stood up to my wife, because then I would have been $2,000 richer.
Yeah, and she'd win. So here's the deal.
Or y'all would have been.
If she's yelling at you and telling you, do not do this, right? If she's like, stop. Do you share the money with her whenever you win it? Like, if you say, you know what, I'm going to stick with it. Do you buy her a present with it? Do you say, hey, let's go out on the night? Or do you say, you know what, this is all me. You didn't believe in me.
That's the tricky thing if you have joint finances, right? Because you can be like, oh, you can agree to it or not agree to it or whatever. But guess what? I have the same access to the debit
that
card, the credit card, whatever.
True.
So,
too bad. Or you could always just take that money and put it somewhere. You know, bury it in the backyard.
Yeah.
Hide it in a wall.
I don't know if I have you been watching like Parks and Rec or
my
Breaking
grandfather,
Bad.
I found some money in his house.
Whenever we had,
he was like, "Yeah, there's some money, by the way." Before he passed away, and I was like, "Where?" And he was like, "Good luck." And I was like, "Oh no!"
Do you think that's because he didn't remember, or he wanted to make it extra mysterious?
At that point, Kevin, he was. There were some. Yeah, he wasn't really completely there at the end. But he did say that, and he was right. I did look around, you know, some areas where I was like, maybe, and I found some.
Interesting. Mike, if you're...
Not a lot.
If you were rolling on this parlay and your wife's like, you need to cash out now, would you be like, what? I made all of these decisions. I'm going to stick with them. Or would you be like, happy wife, happy life, et cetera?
Gosh, that's a good question. I guess it'd matter on how confident I am that I'm going to finish out this.
Yeah.
That I'm telling you, I believe there's a 75% chance I hit this.
Yes.
If I think that it's 50-50 at best, then I think there's a bigger conversation to have to take the cash out.
All right. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Basher.
A little playoffs, but a lot of six-man rotation talk. Ooh. Next year for the Texas Rangers. Sorry.
Judge, it's a high fly to center. Back goes Thomas on the track near the wall. She's gone! Aaron Judge hit the ball so high, you wondered. It came down in Monument Park. It's a Judgian blast.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Mike, I want to see if I can break protocol here and ask you a Baseball Nuggets question.
Go.
Does it take away at all any of your enjoyment that the Dodgers and Yankees continue on like what we all hope is the collision course? But not really because of their star players. Like, I know Judge hit the home run, but before that, he's struggled mightily. By Shohei's standards, he has struggled mightily, especially after that first game when he hit the three-run home run. Does that take away anything?
Yes and no.
Okay.
We're not to the World Series yet, because I'm going to bring up Corey Seager. Corey Seager, obviously star player. the best player on the Rangers. He wins the World Series MVP. Yep. And you could argue in 2020, probably Mookie Betts was their best player for the Dodgers, but Corey Seager won. Corey Seager was also a star player on the team. Not their best, but a star player. A lot of times your World Series MVP is Marco Scudero, Billy Hatcher, right? You have these random guys.
It's not a
My dad was talking once
playoff.
Again about the 68 World Series. Mickey Lolich was the World Series MVP. It wasn't Denny McClain. It wasn't Al Kaline.
Yeah.
So to your point, yes, but I think the history of baseball will show that a lot of times, because they're such short in five games or in seven games, what did you do? And sometimes the star player doesn't have a star series, yet you still win. And then the MVP or whatever goes to a role player.
Yeah.
And so you could see in these AL and NLCSs that maybe at the end of it, you have, you know, you'd have to name me a player, but you have, I don't know, Will Smith is an all-star, but sure. You know, you have Will Smith is the NLCS MVP. And you're like, Will Smith, like, what about Mookie? What about, I don't even know if Freddie Freeman should be playing, by the way. I mean, he can't move.
Right.
He literally can't move. But I will say that, yes, you want to see Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts. You want to see that matchup, and then you want to see one of those guys or multiple of those guys have great series where you're like, what a series. It was awesome, and we got the superstars, and the superstars played like superstars. But Corey brought up yesterday, sometimes maybe you're pitching so perfect or trying to pitch so perfect to these stars because you don't want them to hurt you, that then you make the mistake to the role players, and the role players are able to take advantage of the mistakes.
Okay.
And you're just not, so fine, and
yeah,
we cannot make a mistake to, like, nothing against Willie Mays, right? Before he died, everybody said probably the greatest living player until he died. Willie Mays' numbers in his playoff runs were horrible. At times. Now, Mickey Mantle, good, but Mickey Mantle played in 750 World Series or whatever because they were always in it. So I look at it and go, yes and no. I mean, they threw him a meatball, and I'll tell you this, Kevin, because you weren't here. Guess what? Meatballs, American. Meatballs aren't in Italy.
Oh.
Yeah, so if you're looking for a meatball in Italy, keep looking.
That is surprising.
But if you're looking for a meatball in New York, you're going to find plenty of them. You know what I'm saying, Aaron Judge? All right, so... let's get to the Texas Rangers here. I know that baseball's happening. I'm excited about I wish that I was at Citi Field tonight because I think Ranger fans, I strongly recommend you do this if you have the means and you want to. If you're a big-time Texas Ranger fan, I'd love for you to go to a series. And next year, the Rangers play in New York against the Yankees and in New York in September against the Mets.
Wow.
I would love for you to go to Philadelphia, go to Fenway, go to some of these, go to Dodger Stadium, because we think of just relaxed LA fans. Did you hear those chants of you know, the LA chants? And like, now, don't go to an Angels game. Don't go to a Diamondbacks game. You know, Seattle, go to a Seattle game. See what it's like to go to some of these environments where they really get into just even a regular season game. Playoffs are different, but man, I would love for Ranger fans to see what it's like in some of these environments. And tonight in New York, that place will be going insane. Now, if New York gets down 4-0 and they struck out 5 out of 6 times, which I don't expect they will against Walker Buehler, then you'll hear a whole bunch of boos and a whole bunch of the C word and the really bad C word and a whole bunch of the MF word. Like, they will go the other direction too, which we never will here, which is great. But I just think the environment tonight is going to be outstanding for the playoffs.
Yeah, you were talking about the Angels. We went to an Angels game while we were in Oxnard one year, and it was, you know. But I was
beautiful stadium though, right? For a stadium that
really
old,
cool.
Built in the '60s.
But the vibe of it just different. But I'm watching starting five, Kevin, and Jason Tatum was talking about, look, you dream of going to play in the NBA and the arena is loud and it's not like that every night. And it's not like that at every arena because not all the places care that much.
Yeah.
But he was like, Boston's different. You know, like those places, they love it. They hate it. They love it. They love it.
So Corey, you brought to my attention yesterday and I said, well, let me just kind of get into the playoffs a little bit and then we'll do this the next day. So now we do it today. So I think this isn't a shocker or anything. The Rangers for a while have been on a Japanese pitcher who's about to turn 23 in November. If I'm saying his first name right, I hope I get it right. Roki Sasaki. I know how to say his last name. I'm pretty sure. But he's somebody the Rangers really want. It's been reported since August, pretty much September. The Rangers
Chris Young went up. Yeah.
Yeah, the Rangers have gone to see him multiple times. Yeah. They're trying to develop such a relationship with him that he desperately wants to be a Ranger. Even though, in a way, he has a choice. In a way, maybe he just takes, you know, the highest amount of money that can be taken.
I don't know. The Dodgers look pretty good.
And right, and the Dodgers,
that's tough to argue against.
And the Dodgers own Japan. And,
yeah,
and they probably will. For the rest of our lives, they will probably own Japan because of having not only Yamamoto, not only way back when Nomo, kind of the first one to come over and make an impact as a Japanese player. Yes, Ichiro helped out Seattle tremendously. But if you look at what they've done with Ohtani, I will say Asian people that I saw in Italy all were wearing Dodgers hats. There are only two hats.
Okay.
For Major League Baseball standards. There are only Dodgers and Yankees hats that I saw in Italy. So just to reiterate what I said yesterday, if the Dodgers play the Yankees, the world will be watching the World Series. If it's not Dodgers-Yankees, the world won't be watching.
I think you've started to see that reflected in the League Championship Series ratings as well.
Yeah. So this is what I was thinking about with this. If the Rangers get Sasaki from Japan in this offseason, which I know they really want, man, I think it will be best for everybody with the Texas Rangers. And here's where I'm going with this. I don't think Jacob deGrom should be throwing every fifth day. Do you?
No,
let's keep him once a week, right? Let's get 25. I mean, I'm hoping to get 25 starts from him. And
I'll tell you right now, you get 25 starts from Jacob deGrom, I'm pumped.
You won.
And I'm sure he'll go on the injured list. I'm not saying with a major injury. I'm sure that they'll be like, hey, let's just skip him a couple starts here, give him a little bit of a rest. We got to watch his innings. He hasn't pitched much in the last 2 years. So I get that. Guess what? Kumar Rocker, Jack Leiter, never pitched a day. Jack Leiter, for the first time in his life, pitched on a fifth day. It's the first time he's ever done it in his life. They're not training, and not just the Rangers. Most teams are not training their minor league pitchers to ever throw any fifth day until they get to the major leagues, which is, if you're not training them in the minor leagues, they're not training them in college to do it, why in the world would you do it in your mid-20s to say, hey, I know you never done this in your life, and it'll probably destroy your arm for a year or 2 years. Let's throw you every fifth day. So I think in a way, getting a pitcher from Japan where they do acquiesced, is that the right word?
Oh, look at you.
To Japanese pitchers. They're like, well, gosh, the guy's only pitched every Friday night till he's 23 years old. Why would we ever throw him a fifth day? Well, I think if you get Nathan Eovaldi back, which the Rangers really want Nathan Eovaldi, and he had a great year last year and stayed healthy most of the year. But if you get Nathan Eovaldi back and you have Jacob deGrom in your rotation, Tyler Mahle has dealt with injuries. He couldn't really even come back. He came back but then didn't come back. I just look at it and go, a six-man rotation makes so much sense for me next year that guys are just throwing once a week. If I want to keep Jacob deGrom healthy, if I want to keep, let's just throw Sasaki on the team, which would be awesome. If I want to try to keep him healthy, Yamamoto couldn't stay healthy for the Dodgers. Luckily, he's healthy for the playoffs. But if I want to keep my guys healthy, if I want to keep Kumar Rocker healthy and limit his innings, I need a six-man rotation. So I do think the Rangers should strongly look into whether they get Sasaki or not. I think they should strongly look into, we are going to a six-man rotation, not only next year, but probably for the next 3 years because we have Jacob deGrom. And then after you do it, and if Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiter work out for you, and they're used to throwing every Thursday night for the most part, that Thursday, then throw on Wednesday without having an off day in those stretches where you do have 15 games without an off day.
The negative is what, though?
That if a guy's totally healthy and going great, it's tough to, let's say, win a Cy Young and have a great season, because if instead of getting 32 starts, if I'm throwing somewhat every fifth day, I'm limiting myself now to about 25 to 27 starts. That will be less starts from the guy that I'm paying, Jacob deGrom, $30+ million. But I just look at it and I look at the Rangers' future and I look at the Rangers' current staff and I go, you got to go to a six-man rotation. I don't think they're thinking that right now, but I think that they should strongly consider, and I think baseball is going to go to this here pretty soon, never having a five-man rotation again.
Really?
Because if I'm training Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiter, you name the guy, Paul Skeens, if I'm training all these guys to only throw every Friday night in the minor leagues, they only threw every Friday night in college, they only threw every Friday night in high school, why would I put that risk on them? If I'm trying to limit risk, why am I putting the risk on them at the highest level where you're going to get the most fatigue? There's the most adrenaline rush. It's the toughest mentally. It can be the toughest at times physically. Why would I put all that on those guys once they hit the highest level?
We've talked to Bochy about that recently, and yeah. He said he's, you know, not opposed to it. He's can, you know, have more than ever considering the discussion of it all because of where they are with their rotation, obviously.
I wonder this, and maybe this is for another Baseball Nuggets, and I don't know this answer, but it's fun to discuss on radio with us non, you know, sports people.
Gotcha.
Non-football people.
Yeah, well, I'm assuming we're non-everything.
Fair.
Is if you had to tell the Rangers you can only have one, Sasaki or Nathan Eovaldi? Now, I won't say for just next year, because I'm assuming Eovaldi gets a 2 or 3 year deal, and I'm assuming Sasaki gets obviously you'd have control over him for 6 years. I wonder if you could say you can only have one, who would it be for the Rangers and why?
I think it would be Eovaldi. Me personally, I would go with Sasaki then.
My heart says Eovaldi.
Yeah.
The right thing is Sasaki.
Maybe we have that discussion later in the week, maybe as we get in November, whatever.
Look, we're all really positive about that idea, Mike. It sounded like at the end, like you were really defeated by that.
Roy went down the hill on it. All right, fine.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, right here on 105.3 The Fan.